Roll into a steep bank in a Cessna 172, one fitted with a modern glass panel and a digital autopilot, and keep pulling somewhere past 45 degrees, something pushes back. Not the airplane. The controls. A gentle, insistent pressure on the yoke, nudging you back toward level, you can override it. It isn't fighting you, but it's there, quietly disagreeing with where you're taking the airplane. You didn't turn it on. You may not even know its name. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct, the show where we open up the boxes in your panel and figure out what's actually going on inside them. Today, we're talking about a kind of cockpit automation that almost nobody talks about because it's designed to be invisible. It doesn't land the airplane for you. It doesn't fly the approach. It just sits in the background watching, and every so often it puts a thumb on the controls. Garmin calls it Electronic Stability and Protection, ESP for short, and I think it's one of the more interesting engineering stories in general aviation, because it's automation built not to replace you, but to catch you. Let's break this down. Before we get into it, this segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey, one coin at a time. Beautifully made, heavy in the hand, built to last a lifetime of carrying around in a flight bag. If you've got a milestone worth marking, or you know someone who does, that's AviationSoul.com. Okay, let's start with the problem, because the technology only makes sense once you understand what it's trying to solve. The single deadliest thing in general aviation isn't engine failure. It isn't weather. Exactly, though weather is often the trigger. It's loss of control in flight. The airplane departs controlled flight, usually through a stall or a spiral, usually close to the ground, usually with a perfectly good engine running the whole way down. The National Transportation Safety Board has been putting loss of control at the top of the general aviation fatal accident list for years. It is, by a wide margin, what kills pilots. And here's what most people miss. It almost never happens because the pilot didn't know how to recover from a stall. Every one of us practiced stalls for the check ride. We know the recovery. The problem is that in the real accidents, the pilot didn't know they were about to stall. They were distracted, they were task-saturated, they were looking at a chart or fighting an autopilot they didn't understand, or turning back toward a runway after an engine hiccup with their attention completely outside the cockpit. The airplane got slow, the bank got steep, the nose dropped, and by the time anyone noticed, there wasn't enough altitude left to fix it. So the engineering question becomes, how do you build a system that catches the airplane before the pilot even realizes there's a problem? The airline world solved a version of this decades ago. Airbus built hard envelope protection into the fly-by-wire jets. Pull all the way back on the side stick in an A320, and the flight computer simply will not let the airplane stall. The computer sits between your hand and the control surfaces, and it has the final say. Boeing took a softer philosophy. But the big jets all have layers of protection built into the automation. But those are fly-by-wire airplanes. There are no cables and pushrods running from the stick to the surfaces. It's all computers and hydraulics, so inserting a protective layer is natural. The computer is already in the loop. Your Cessna is not fly-by-wire. Your yoke is bolted, through cables and pulleys, directly to the elevator and the ailerons. There is no computer in that chain. So how do you add envelope protection to an airplane that has a mechanical 100-year-old control system? Here's the clever part. You already have the hardware. It's the autopilot. Think about what an autopilot physically is. Strip away the software and the modes and the pretty display, and a modern digital autopilot is a set of servos, small electric motors, one for pitch, one for roll, sometimes one for yaw, clamped onto the control cables or the control surfaces. When the autopilot wants to bank the airplane, it commands the roll servo to pull the aileron cable. That's it. The autopilot moves your controls by pulling on the same cables your hands pull on. Now, an autopilot only does that when it's engaged. You turn it on, it flies. You turn it off, the servos declutch and go limp, and the airplane is all yours. Garmin's insight, and it's a genuinely elegant one, was this. What if the servos never fully go to sleep? What if, even with the autopilot switched off, those same motors stay quietly powered, watching the airplane's attitude and airspeed, ready to apply a small amount of force if things start to go wrong? That's electronic stability and protection. It uses the autopilot servos as its muscle, but it runs whether or not the autopilot is engaged. It's the autopilot's hardware doing a completely different job. The data tells an interesting story about how it actually behaves. ESP is not a hard limit like the Airbus. It's a soft nudge. The system knows from the attitude and heading reference system and the air data computer exactly what the airplane is doing at every instant. Its pitch, its bank angle, its airspeed, and it has a set of thresholds baked in. Say you roll into a turn and pass, oh, roughly 45 degrees of bank. ESP starts applying a gentle roll force back toward level. The steeper you go, the harder it pushes. It's proportional. At 46 degrees, it's a whisper. Keep hauling it over toward 60 and it's pushing meaningfully. But, and this matters, it never locks you out. A firm, deliberate input from the pilot always wins. If you genuinely want that steep turn, you can have it. ESP just makes you mean it. Same story in pitch. Push the nose down toward a high airspeed, or pull it up toward too high a pitch attitude, and ESP feeds in opposing pressure, trying to shepherd you back toward a normal range. And then there's the piece I find the most interesting, which is low airspeed protection. As the airplane slows toward a stall, ESP starts pushing the nose down. Not violently. Just applying forward pressure on the elevator, lowering the nose, trading a little altitude to keep the wing flying. It is doing, automatically and early, exactly what your instructor drilled into you. Angle of attack too high? Lower the nose. ESP does it before you've even noticed the airspeed decaying. Now here's where the real cleverness comes in. And it's a behavioral trick, not an aerodynamic one. ESP counts. If you fight it, if you keep the airplane in that steep, uncoordinated, nose-high state and hold it there against the servo pressure for long enough, the system concludes that maybe you're not actually flying the airplane on purpose. Maybe you're incapacitated. Maybe you're spatially disoriented in cloud, in a graveyard spiral, and don't know which way is up. So it escalates. If ESP has been active past a certain threshold for too long, it does something dramatic. It engages the autopilot for you on its own. The autopilot kicks in, levels the wings, sets a sane pitch attitude, and flies the airplane straight and level. Garmin calls that piece level mode. And it's the same blue button function that a scared passenger could hit if the pilot went down, except here, nobody pushed the button. The airplane decided you needed it. Think about what that means for the disorientation accident. The classic killer, visual pilot blunders into cloud, loses the horizon, and within a couple of minutes is in a spiral they can't feel and can't see their way out of. ESP is watching that bank angle climb. It's pushing back the whole time, and if the pilot doesn't respond, it stops asking and just takes the airplane back to level flight. That is a machine reaching in and breaking the accident chain at exactly the link where humans fail. Let's be honest about the caveats, though, because I promised you balanced, and I meant it. First, ESP is not a stall prevention guarantee. It reduces the likelihood of getting to a stall. It does not make the airplane unstallable. Cross it up badly enough or set up an aggressive enough scenario, and you can still stall an airplane with ESP running. It's a safety net with holes in it, not a floor. Treating it as a hard limit, the way you can genuinely treat the Airbus protections, would be a serious misunderstanding of what it is. Second, and this is subtle, there's a training concern that the human factors people worry about. When you build a system that quietly corrects the pilot, you risk the pilot never noticing they're being corrected. If ESP is always nudging you away from steep banks and low speeds, do you slowly lose the feel for where those edges even are? Do you get complacent, flying a little sloppier because something invisible is cleaning up after you? That's a real question, and the honest answer is, we don't fully know yet. It's why Garmin lets you switch ESP off, and why good instructors make sure students can fly the airplane clean, with the protection disabled, before they lean on it. Third, it depends entirely on good data. ESP is only as smart as its sensors. The attitude reference and the air data have to be healthy. If the pitot system ices up and the airspeed reading goes bad, the low-speed protection is working off a lie. Now, these systems are monitored and they'll flag a failure, but the principle stands. Automation that acts on sensor data is hostage to that sensor data. Garbage in, wrong nudge out. And fourth, the practical one. ESP requires a compatible Garmin autopilot and the sensor suite to feed it. In the general aviation world, that mostly means the GFC 500 and the GFC 700, Garmin's digital autopilots paired with their glass. If you're flying a 1978 Cherokee with steam gauges and an old vacuum-driven autopilot, none of this exists for you. This is a feature of the glass panel generation. The good news is that the GFC 500 is a retrofit unit. You can put it in a huge range of legacy airframes, and when you do, ESP typically comes along as part of the package. So this isn't just a feature for people buying new airplanes, it's showing up in 40 and 50 year old aluminum, and that's where the accident statistics actually live. So who's building this and where's it going? Garmin is the big name here, and ESP is their term, but they're not alone in the philosophy. The whole industry has been moving toward what you might call envelope awareness in the light aircraft cockpit. Garmin's own Autoland, which we've talked about as the system that lands the airplane with nobody flying, is really the far end of this same spectrum. ESP is the quiet cousin, Autoland is the dramatic rescue, ESP is the thousand small saves you never hear about because nothing bad happened. You can see the through line in the engineering. Every one of these features, ESP, level mode, smart glide, Autoland, they're all built on the same foundation, a digital autopilot with electric servos, a solid state attitude reference, air data and GPS position, all talking to each other on a data bus. Once you have that architecture in the airplane, envelope protection is largely a software problem. The muscle is already installed, that's why we're seeing this cascade of safety automation arrive so quickly. The hardware went digital, and suddenly the airplane could be given judgment it never had before. Here's the honest timeline. This is not future tech. ESP has been shipping for around a decade. It's certified, it's mature, it's flying in thousands of airplanes right now, from factory new Cessnas and Cirrus and Pipers to retrofitted classics. What's still evolving is how much authority we're comfortable giving it, and how we train around it. The technology is ahead of the culture. We have airplanes that can quietly overrule a disoriented pilot, and we're still, as a community, working out exactly how we feel about that. And I'll leave you with the thing I keep coming back to. The most impressive automation in your panel might be the system you can't feel working. Autoland gets the magazine covers, the red button, the airplane that saves the day, but the quiet servo pressure that keeps a distracted pilot from rolling into a spiral on a hazy afternoon, the nudge that lowers the nose before anyone said the word stall. That's the automation that's probably preventing accidents nobody will ever count. You can't write a headline about a crash that didn't happen. My thanks to Garmin's own documentation and to the safety reporting from AOPA and the NTSB accident data for the details behind this one. There's more from the show at radiohangar.com if you want it. Next time you pre-flight, dig into your autopilot's manual and find out whether that quiet co-pilot is riding along with you. It's worth knowing what it will and won't do. This is Vector. Keep the wings level and let the box help you when it counts.